WSDQ Dunlap, WEPG South Pittsburgh, The Copperhead, WSDT Soddy Daisy, Chattanooga.
The viewpoints expressed on Liberty Works Radio Network are not necessarily those of the network, its affiliates, or sponsors. This is Liberty Works Radio Network. Now live from coast to coast and around the globe, more real talk, the kind you want, on Liberty Works Radio Network.
Welcome to the Truth Tech Hour. I am Steve Hempling, Director of Free Enterprise Society. On this program, I try to expose the truth about subjects that affect American liberty, your freedom. For those that know me, know income tax is one of my pet peeves, as it destroys Americans' desire to work in some cases, or work overtime, or even get ahead. The federal government could get along fine without the income tax if they were following the law, the supreme law of the land called the U.S. Constitution. The federal government has only 17 powers listed in the U.S. Constitution. And if the law were followed, we would not probably need 10% of our current budget. Imagine that, a world without the income tax. What a nice place that would be. Anyway, my website is freeenterprisesociety.com, and on there you can get quite a bit of information about the income tax and why there are problems, legal problems, and constitutional problems with it. And I'm talking to you now. It's only March, but I'm talking to you from sunny California, where they're starting a new drought because they had so much fun in the last one. We are like at one-third of our rain, blue skies, green, 70-degree perfect weather. And no rain. All right. We have some interesting things on the election, although I don't think anybody's going to beat Trump out. We have a socialist, which is more, to me, closer to communism. And the young people seem to be going to him in droves, and that concerns me as far as our education system goes, because obviously the young people in this country do not know what a socialist or a communist or a Marxist is and how bad that is. And you know, I think that something needs to be done about these school systems and these curriculums, especially if the government's funding the money. Of course, maybe the government is funding the misinformation. But either way, we got to do something about it. Some parents out here, there are quite a few parents, are just pulling their kids out of school and not having anything to do with public education any longer. And maybe that's the way we're going to have to go. But anyway, I find it interesting that in Joe Biden, which can't remember what state he's in, or what position he had on guns last week, or any position on anything from a month ago. Either one, I just don't think it's a problem for Trump. I am a big supporter of Trump. I think Trump has been one of the best presidents I've seen in my life because, you know, he just tells you what he thinks. A lot of people hate that about him, but I can tell you, I don't understand that because, you know, if you don't like Trump, you don't like America First, what are you? Well, you want a two-faced, lying politician who tells you something to your face and says something different behind your back, and then we'll do something in Europe, regardless of how many jobs it costs in this country or somewhere else. I mean, we don't elect the president to represent France or anybody else. I mean, it doesn't make sense to me. Anyway, also, you can go to truth-attack.com. That's another website on income tax. There's a DVD there called Innocence Revealed. You can watch the thing on that website for free. It's five attorneys and a former IRS agent showing that the average person is not required to file or pay an income tax. It's amazing information if you haven't heard it. And if you're about to file returns, this is tax season. Everybody's gearing up for April 15th. And, you know, you owe it to yourself maybe to watch that video. Truth-attack.com. Watch Innocence Revealed. Well, we're going to talk about more than income tax today. The other big thing in the news is of coronavirus, and everybody's talking about this and that, and then, you know, and a lot of people don't know what to make of it. A lot of Americans are kind of foo-fooing the whole idea, it looks like, because we've been through this before where everybody goes into a panic and then nothing happens. So we have a guest today. He's the president of the Institute for Health Research. He's Ralph Fusatola.
Hey.
And we're talking with him about the coronavirus today. Welcome, Ralph. It's a pleasure to have you join me.
Hey, it's a pleasure to be with you. I'm president of the Institute for Health Research, inhere.org, www.inhere.org. And I have with me a co-guest, my co-trustee at the Institute, Dr. Rima E. Labo, MD, one of our country's leading holistic advanced healthcare practitioners, MD for 50 years almost, and a great spokesperson for health freedom and real health. So we're here to talk about coronavirus, forced vaccinations, and all the other interesting things that I'm sure your folks want to hear about in this moment of what appears to be crisis. We will see if it really is or isn't. Dr. Rima, are you with us?
I am, but I was muted. I am here. Thank you for that very kind and glowing introduction. You need to get out more.
All right, Dr. Rima. Dr. Rima and I have been conspiring to make trouble for the FDA and the other agents of government for a number of years. The Natural Solutions Foundation, founded in 2004 by her late husband and my friend and mentor, General Albert N. Stubblebine III, and Dr. Rima, has been around, and we've been involved in some similar events in the past. For example, you may recall the 2009 so-called swine flu panic and yes. The 2014 Ebola panic. We were advocating for health freedom and for calm in all of those events, and have some war stories to share with your listeners, if that's what you think they would be interested in hearing, or we can jump into what's happening today. But it's all about your universal right to informed consent and your personal freedom. This is not about disease. It's about liberty. Right, Dr. Rima?
Absolutely. The latest in the series of genetically engineered, intentionally created horror organisms happens to be this coronavirus, which, as I'm sure your listeners already know, has been identified in a variety of scientific peer-reviewed publications to have four DNA strands inserted into it from the HIV-1 virus and one strand of DNA inserted into it from the SARS virus, the coronavirus SARS.
Isn't it true, Dr. Rima, that our common flu is also a coronavirus?
No. Our common flu is not a coronavirus. Our common cold is a coronavirus. There are many, many, many coronaviruses, and they are usually quite infective, but they are not particularly destructive or cataclysmic. This one has been genetically engineered to do the three things that viruses do particularly effectively. That is to attach to a cell, to penetrate the cell, and to hijack the cell's DNA to replicate and therefore cause the cell to burst and release more viruses to repeat that process, unless the immune system comes along and says, ha ha, no, and stops the process. And so this is a genetically engineered, bioweaponized, patented organism created, as far as we've been able to deduce, in the United States by the or with U.S. money from the National Institutes of Health, your tax dollars at work, and sold 5 years ago in North Carolina with the permission of the United States to the Chinese government when it was created at Duke University. Then U.S. scientists were sent to Wuhan, which is the site of the only level 4 biosecurity laboratory in China. And it's called it's located in the Wuhan CDC, which, as far as I'm concerned, is the Center for Disease Creation. So the scientists worked to make it even more infective and effective and deadly. And then it was either released accidentally by a worker in the Wuhan CDC, who was apparently bitten by one of the 605 intermediate horseshoe bats that they were experimenting on or passing the virus through to make it more lethal. And it happens that United Hospital in Wuhan is next door to this facility, the Wuhan CDC. Both of them are about 920 feet from the wet market where supposedly bats were eaten and started this whole nonsense. What a ridiculous story. Anyway, the worker quarantined himself, according to a paper published by two Chinese scientists from the University of South China in Guangzhou, and apparently didn't stay in quarantine because the place where people actually started showing up with the disease that we know about is United Hospital. So we can presume that the worker kind of slipped next door to get some medical help or some supplies or whatever and spread the virus to the medical workers there, which is where things seem to have started. So this is no accident. It is genetically engineered to be more deadly the older you are. No child under the age of 10 has been reported to have died from this virus. They're getting it, but they don't die from it. And the older you get, the more lethal it becomes until finally, if you're over 80, it is 15% fatal. That is to say, out of every 100 people over the age of 80 who get it, it looks like about 14.8% of them will die. That's an amazingly lethal organism. That is, they will die unless their immune systems come along and say, uh-uh, not happening. And one of the things that we take a great deal of effort, place a great deal of effort into at the Natural Solutions Foundation, of which I am the medical director and Ralph is the secretary treasurer and counsel. One of the things that we put a lot of effort into is finding natural, simple, safe, effective solutions to these horrendous problems. And there is a natural, simple, safe solution that the Fraud and Death Administration and the Center for Disease Creation and the World Holocaust Organization do not want you to know about. But it exists, it works, and it's available.
Well, let's slow down here a little bit. I'm curious, you know, anytime a new virus or something comes out, people, of course, wonder if that's man-made. And you're indicating this one is. But now, you know, we've been kind of, as you mentioned, we've kind of been through this before with SARS and stuff. And what would be, how is that different than what we're looking at today?
Well, as I've been saying, and by the way, our news aggregation site is opensourcetruth.com. And at that site, we have a special page called truthaboutcoronavirus.com. So people who want to stay abreast of what's real and what's not, which is a pretty useful activity, can go to truthaboutcoronavirus.com and they can sign up for our newsletter at either of those sites. So what's different about this one is that the powers that think they be have been trying to come up with an effective, selective depopulation tool for quite some time. And Ralph and General Stubblebine, my late husband, and I, the three trustees of the foundation, constantly said, well, you know, eventually they're going to get it right. They misfired on the avian flu. They misfired on the swine flu. They misfired on SARS and MERS. There have been quite a lot of almost pandemics, and they've tried real hard to make them pandemics. They apparently have gotten things a bit more correct from their horrible, insane point of view in this one, because it does seem to be killing a good number of people.
I got to put you on hold there for a second there, Raymond. We got a break coming up. So stay there. You're listening to the Truth Attack Hour on Liberty Works Radio Network. We're talking with the president of the Institute for Health Research, Ralph Fucicello, and a a Dr. Rima. I don't have her last name here in front of me, but stay tuned. We're talking about the coronavirus.
Is Liberty Works Radio Network enlightening you to the real problems we face in our constitutional republic? Has it helped you to better understand what has to be done to save America from becoming a third world nation? If so, do your part in spreading this voice of truth and enlightenment to your fellow Americans. Join the Liberty Works Radio Network Fellowship. Go to www.libertyworksradionetwork.com for details.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
And now for the Institute on the Constitution, here's Michael Anthony Perutka with The American View.
Displaying its contempt for the right of the people of Maryland to defend their lives and their liberties, the General Assembly of Maryland has enacted what our founders in the Declaration of Independence referred to as pretended legislation. This pretended legislation, which is intended to take effect on October 1st, infringes on the right of the people to keep and bear arms in many obvious ways, including making it much harder to buy a pistol, rifle, or shotgun, limiting magazines to 10 rounds, and banning 45 types of firearms. Since the Constitution is the supreme law of the land, and since the Second Amendment declares that the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed, then these gun control measures are not law. Let me repeat. These gun control measures are not law. Therefore, we are calling on all peace officers in Maryland to resist this lawlessness. Specifically, we call on sheriffs and police officers to declare their intention to uphold the true law by refusing to enforce these measures. Moreover, we ask these same oath takers to actively protect us against those who would violate the law by seeking to enforce these vain enactments. All those who try to enforce these lawless gun control measures should themselves be arrested and prosecuted for, among other things, conspiring to violate the rights of decent, innocent, law-abiding Marylanders. This is Michael Anthony Perutka for Institute on the Constitution, bringing you The American View.
This is Rob McQuay for the Institute on the Constitution, and you've just finished hearing Michael Anthony Perutka's commentary on The American View. The views and opinions expressed are not necessarily those of this radio station, and we welcome any comments and suggestions you may care to offer by emailing us at michael@theamericanview.com. If you'd like to learn more about the Institute on the Constitution's work, you can find out more about who we are and what we do at theamericanview.com.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
The entire world watched. They watched each step down the rungs of that small ladder, one after another, and waited with great anticipation for that last step.
It's one small step for man, one
at that moment, humanity saw the impossible become the possible, and today the sky is not the limit. Achievement. Pass it on.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
It doesn't take sight to reach the top. It takes vision. Eric Weinmayer knew the risks. Less than 1,200 people had ever conquered Mount Everest, and more than 175 had died trying. But still he climbed, not seeing the terrifying drops or the fear on other faces. And when he reached the summit, he didn't even see the view. Because Eric Weinmayer is blind. He proved it doesn't take sight to reach the top. It takes vision. Pass it on.
America.
Born to Freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in Broadcasting.
Now live from coast to coast and around the globe, more real talk, the kind you want, on Liberty Works Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Truth Attack Hour. I am Steve Hempling, Director of Free Enterprise Society. The Truth Attack Hour is aired every day from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific Time on Liberty Works Radio Network. I do want to comment on Liberty Works. It is a freedom-oriented network. I believe this network and networks like it will be the new mainstream media of tomorrow, because the mainstream media has lost listenership every day just about and continues to drop. And they don't really, if you watch a lot of the networks, they don't even tell you both sides of the story. So if you like this program or others on the Liberty Works, I hope that you can, and when you're at LWRN.net, you can leave a donation, a one-time donation, or you can maybe contact them. Maybe I'm not sure how do they do that, but they might be able to set up a $5, $10, or $20 or more donation monthly. So I hope that some of you will help out with that, because this is a listener-supported network. Now, if you want to write this number down, it is a call-in number. It's 410-848-9191. That's 410-848-9191. You're welcome to call in with questions or comments for the guest today. We're back with my guest, the president of the Institute for Health Research Incorporated, Ralph
Fusatola.
And we have
Dr. Rima Labo.
Rima Labo, M.D.
Labo,
I'm sorry.
All right. So let me.
All right. Well, I was looking at your website. You talk about it being re-effective. What do you mean by that? I mean, you're saying when someone gets over it, that they're not actually over it, or they're not immune to it, or what are you saying there?
Remember, this is not an ordinary virus. This is a selective and uniquely engineered virus. We know that it's been made particularly dangerous, but we don't yet have all, I don't yet have all the information about the other ways in which it's been made selective. But the United States has been involved in genetically focused and targeted bioweapons for a number of decades. Anyway, rather than get off on that, apparently, in most viral and bacterial diseases, if you get the disease, your body builds a natural immunity. It's called community exposure. And then, for instance, if you get the measles, which is actually a good thing to do, it's protective against a number of cancers in your 30s, 40s, and 50s, and it sort of tunes the immune system when you get it as a child. But if you get the measles, you have a lifelong immunity. You'll never get the measles again, even if you meet it. If you get whooping cough, which is a bacterial disease, the same thing is true. This is not true, apparently, with the coronavirus, because not only do people have a long period where they're transmitting it before they themselves develop symptoms, or even if they never develop symptoms, the Typhoid Mary kind of situation. But in addition to that, if you get it, you can get it again. And if you get it, you can keep shedding the virus, which means that prevention and making sure that your immune system can deal with the problem anytime it's encountered is absolutely essential. And that's why we have taken such pains to inform people of exactly how they can do that.
Wow.
Well, right. Yeah, you
now,
mentioned that.
I'd like to add one more bit of information to our discussion. We were talking about ways of building your immune system, and of course Dr. Rima strongly recommends nanosilver as one of those means. But she also talks a lot about vitamin C, and I thought I would read the following announcement from one of the articles that we've been looking at. The government of Shanghai, China, has announced its official recommendation that COVID-19 should be treated with high amounts of intravenous vitamin C. Dosage recommendations vary with severity of illness, from 50 to 200 milligrams per kilogram body weight per day. Dr. Emu, do you have any comments about vitamin C? And
absolutely.
Go ahead.
Intravenous vitamin C is an absolute no-brainer for a viral or bacterial infection, as in, yeah, duh, of course. I've been using intravenous vitamin C at high doses for infections for decades, and so have most other doctors who practice, as I do, without pharmaceuticals. But the fact that China tried it and says, oh, look at that, it works, is nice, because it kind of gives the imprimatur to intravenous vitamin C. But oral vitamin C, which you cannot take at the same dosage levels that you can take intravenous, oral vitamin C would be a nice thing to take too. And that also beefs up the immune system response and is non-toxic. And the way you decide how much you need is to take it to bowel tolerance. That means you take vitamin C and you keep increasing it until you have soft stools or diarrhea. You should do this over a weekend, I think. And then you back down to 75% of that. So if your bowel tolerance is 10,000 milligrams or 10 grams of vitamin C, a perfectly reasonable dose, then you would back down to 7.5 grams per day. That's how you tell how much your body needs. And
that sounds like a lot.
Chinese, no, it's not really a lot. A gorilla, which is basically biologically kind of in the large human family, a gorilla makes over 100 grams a day. We've lost the enzyme to make it, but if we did make it, we would be making a minimum of 13 grams a day. That's what we actually need. And since we're not getting it from our food, taking it as a supplement and letting our body tell us how much we need and when we've reached that level is a pretty reasonable thing to do. So,
well, vitamin C, that builds up your immune system. So it takes your white blood cells and makes them stronger, among other things.
Well, it's a little bit more complicated than that. There is a system in the body called the Krebs cycle. And the Krebs cycle produces the energy packets, the fuel packets for the mitochondria, which are the furnaces of every cell. And when the Krebs cycle can turn easily because it's got the materials that it needs, and vitamin C is a critical one there, then the cells are more active and the biological processes can be carried out abundantly. So it's like putting high quality gasoline in your car. There are no knocks in the engine. It doesn't run out of fuel on the freeway. So it's fueling the entire system. And it's not just the white blood cells, because we have the immune system is phenomenally flexible because there are so many pieces and bits and parts of it. And vitamin C and vitamin D, vitamin D3, are absolutely critical to all of it. Now, the Chinese are also treating the coronavirus disease with HIV drugs, which tells you something all on its own, doesn't it?
Ah, that's involvement of HIV in it. Yeah.
I'm sorry, you both were talking. I heard what Ralph said. I didn't hear what you said, Steve.
Well, I haven't heard that, but.
Oh, yeah. Before they finished the trials on vitamin C, they were already treating people with the HIV drugs, which are, of course,
that's some sort of antiviral formula or.
Well, a specific HIV antiviral formula, but the point of that is, since the virus has been modified to be HIV related, it related to the HIV-1 virus by putting strands of the HIV-1 virus into the coronavirus, the geniuses figured out that it would be pretty reasonable to use the HIV drugs to try to suppress the virus. And by gum, it worked. So it's not just any old antiviral. It's those particular antivirals.
Hmm.
Interesting. All right.
Well, now the silver you talked about, I mean, that's like a colloidal silver.
No. It, people say, well, I can make, why would I buy your silver, Dr. Rima? I can make colloidal silver, that, which is the same thing on my kitchen table. And I say, yes, you can if you live in a metallurgical laboratory and on your kitchen table you have a containment vessel that can operate at 10,000 pounds per square inch of pressure and 10,000 volts. I don't know about you, Steve, but my kitchen isn't set up like that. This is a very special formula that is made under those conditions.
And it's nano silver. You know, colloidal silver works by shedding nano silver particles. So let's start with the nano silver to begin with. There was a government study that was declassified in 2009, in which silver made by the same manufacturer, the same silver actually, that Dr. Rima recommends, was put into various in vitro studies, like petri dishes or something similar, where various viruses, very serious hemorrhagic viruses like Ebola and West Nile, were put into petri dishes with living.
No, I'm sorry, Ralph, excuse me. West Nile is not a hemorrhagic virus. It's an encephalitic virus. It was Tacarib and Ebola and Marburg. Those are the hemorrhagic viruses. Sorry.
Well, that's okay. The upshot of the study was that they had living human cells, they had viruses, and they had nanosilver. And 10, 25, and 50 parts per million. Interestingly enough, the 10 parts per million, the most dilute, was the most powerful. In no case did more than a tiny fraction of the viruses manage to penetrate the living cells. And if there is no penetration, there can be no replication. And it's the replication of the viral cells, of the viral particles, rather, that causes the symptoms of disease. No penetration, there's no disease to begin with. So nanosilver supports normal cell membrane integrity. The cell membranes are not pierced by the virus, which therefore cannot do its thing. It disrupts the viral cycle. And people can get information about that if they go to opensourcetruth.com. There's information about Dr. Rima's the silver solution there. So it's a good opportunity to learn more.
Well, I understood that silver kind of kills these things in and of itself. I mean, it doesn't.
We could never say that, because that would be treating a disease with a dietary supplement, which, you know, the FDA doesn't allow. We can say it supports normal cell membrane integrity.
Okay.
And if there's no piercing of the skin, there is no disease. And by the way, that brings us to another
issue.
Now,
if there's no piercing of the membrane, right? Yes.
I was about to talk about piercing the skin, which,
yes,
of course, is,
I know,
is the vaccine issue that we all have to deal with these days. And it's something that we all have to consider, because the Chinese claim they're going to have a vaccine, alleged, a vaccine to deal with COVID-19 within a month. Now, the head of the U.S. government's infectious disease division, Dr. was it Fausto? Said it takes 18 months, even accelerated schedule, to get that vaccine. Well, so we now know that we're going to be faced with an unsafety-tested, ineffective vaccine that's going to have unknown side effects. Our courts have held over and over again that vaccines are unavoidably unsafe. And so we're going to be facing that same issue. And it's important for people to know that if they're faced with mandatory vaccination, they have the absolute right to say no. It's called the right of informed consent, and it's been the law in this country for well over 100 years. As recently as 2013, in a case involving taking of blood, which is less intrusive than putting something into your body, the Supreme Court said, we have never wavered from our commitment to the proposition that you have a protected privacy interest in preventing an agent of the state from piercing.
All right, I'm going to have to interrupt you there. We got a music coming on. We got a hard break coming up. So hold that thought. You're listening to the Truth Attack Hour on Liberty Works Radio Network. We're talking with President of the Institute of Health Research, Ralph Fulitola, and Rima
Lebo.
Lebo, right? All right.
Is Liberty Works Radio Network enlightening you to the real problems we face in our constitutional republic? Has it helped you to better understand what has to be done to save America from becoming a third world nation? If so, do your part in spreading this voice of truth and enlightenment to your fellow Americans. Join the Liberty Works Radio Network Fellowship. Go to www.libertyworksradionetwork.com for details.
They want you to believe that you have no hope. They're counting on the fact that you are a dope. Well, they tell you the rules, tell you what to eat. They know that you won't question, they know that you don't read. We've lived a lie for way too long. It's time to know right from wrong. No matter what they told you all, courts and judges cannot make law. The case law method has a fatal flaw. Because cannot make law. Courts cannot make law. Courts cannot make law. The case law method has a fatal flaw. Because courts cannot make law. Congress makes the laws and the courts make none. That's in the Constitution, it's in Article 1. Look it up, read the words, use your own two eyes. Know it well, mark the spot, have it memorized. Tell your children, tell your mama, tell your family. Tell your friends, tell your neighbors if you wanna be free. You won't learn the truth in government schools. It's up to you to know the rules. No matter what they told you all, courts and judges cannot make law. The case law method has a fatal flaw. Because courts cannot make law. Courts cannot make law. Courts cannot make law. The case law method has a fatal flaw. Because courts cannot make law. Oh, Dred Scott was not law, you see. They ignored the court then, and so should we. Slaughterhouse and Mickey Mouse and Roe v. Wade. Opinions are not how law is made. That's not the way that our founders planned. Now wise up and rise up across the land. Spread the word so everybody knows this emperor has got no clothes. No matter what they told you all, courts and judges cannot make law. The case law method has a fatal flaw. Because courts cannot make law. Courts cannot make law. Courts cannot make law. The case law method has a fatal flaw. Because courts cannot make law.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
Did you know that no Christian church accepted contraception as morally permissible before 1930? Discover why and how to work with a woman's natural times of being fertile and infertile. Learn a 99% effective method of natural family planning in English or Spanish through classes or home study. Search for a class at the Couple to Couple League's website, ccli.org, or call 800-745-8252.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
Dad, where did the clouds come from?
Well, buddy, that's a good question.
Is this worm a boy or a girl?
Why are carrots orange?
Actually,
Dad, why don't you have any hair on your head?
How do birds fly?
Why is dirt brown? Why can't I fly? Are we there yet?
You may not have all the answers, but if they're comfortable coming to you now when the questions are small, they'll come to you with the bigger questions later.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Give your family everything. Give them your time.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting. Now live from coast to coast and around the globe. More real talk, the kind you want, on Liberty Works Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Truth Attack Hour. I am Steve Hifling, Director of Free Enterprise Society. Truth Attack Hour is aired every day from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific Time on Liberty Works Radio Network. And if you want to write this number down, it is a call-in number, 410-848-9191. That's 410-848-9191. You're welcome to call in with questions or comments from my guest. We're back with my guest, President of the Institute of Health Research, Ralph Butchistello, and Dr. Rima Lebeau, and who's in charge of their holistic medical. And we're talking about the coronavirus and different things. Now, you came around to right before break about vaccines and forced vaccines, and more states are moving toward that. California did that. I mean, I don't know what they do if you're not, if your kids aren't in school, but here the forced vaccination was to get you into school or you're not going.
You know, that's
which
called
I think
unconstitutional
make the homeschooling
condition.
Market a lot bigger here.
Yep.
But
that's called an unconstitutional condition. Conditioning the surrender of a right, my right of informed consent, for the receipt of a government benefit, so-called free public education, is an unconstitutional condition. And the federal courts have literally thousands of times told state governments, you may not condition a benefit on the surrender of a right. And why do I say it's a right? Because as early as 1914, a judge, later Supreme Court Justice Cardozo, held in a New York State case that it's an assault and battery. It's a trespass for a doctor to engage in a medical intervention without the informed consent of the person, even if the intervention benefits the person. That was in 1914. Of course, we all know that in 1947, there was the famous Nazi doctor's trial as part of the subsequent Nuremberg trials, in which the famous Nuremberg Code was issued. The Nuremberg Code is a restatement of the law of informed consent as it existed at the start of World War II, and it is a statement made by the U.S. government and used to try enemy combatants for war crimes. Under the Geneva Conventions, if a state tries a combatant for a war crime, it must be on the basis of a law that existed prior to the start of the war and applies to the trying country itself. So the U.S. government, by its own actions, is bound by the Nuremberg Code and bound by the universal right of informed consent. There's language in that code, famous language, which talks about no element of coercion may be used to force people to surrender their right of informed consent. And that same language has been taken over, and it's in all sorts of statutes here in the United States. They're called Institutional Review Board statutes, and it's also in the United Nations Bioethics Convention. It's really clear that international law, in this case at least, trumps state government actions. A state government may be able to legally repeal an exemption it granted decades before, but it has no power to repeal informed consent. It can't say that you have a constitutional right as a child to a free public education, but have to surrender your informed consent right in order to get it. And I believe that in the long run, the courts will understand that and will stop the nationwide attack on informed consent that we see happening. But it's not going to be easy,
sure,
because people are going to have to assert their right. If you do not assert your right to informed consent, it will be deemed waived. And I want to give
people
a URL they can go to learn more about this.
I'm sure some people are standing up, but I think that it's a frightening thought to think of, you know, these officers holding down our children and giving them forced vaccinations.
Indeed.
I have written a book. It's a manual for parents to retrieve their autistic children. And It's called Autism, the Definitive Action Plan. And one of the things that I do in that book is talk about the causes of autism, because obviously the best thing to do is to prevent it. And the cause of autism, despite all the propaganda and the hype and the ferocity of misinformation and the uniformity of misinformation, the cause of autism is very simple. It's vaccination. If you don't believe that, then you simply have to look carefully at the statistics, and it's absolutely irrefutable. So if you stop vaccinating and support the immune system with things like diet and nanosilver and vitamin C and sunshine for vitamin D, without sunscreen, by the way, sunscreen is a very bad idea. And most malignant melanomas, which is a, you know, not a disease you want to have, that's sure. But most malignant melanomas, more than 50%, occur in areas of the body that never, ever see sunshine. So the sunshine melanoma thing is just more medical propaganda nonsense. But the point is that autism is caused by vaccines, and so are a whole lot of other very, very profitable diseases. If you're the pharmaceutical industry, you love it. So vaccines are really, first and foremost, a downstream marketing strategy to get people sick enough to require lots and lots of medications, but they're also a depopulation tool, because they decrease immune capacity. And then you wind up with something like, oh, let's say the COVID-19 virus that takes out those people whose immune systems are weakened, and you've got a perfect storm of depopulation if you want one. I don't want it. You don't want it. And so not allowing vaccination is a really good idea. And what we've done at the Natural Solutions Foundation, because Ralph and I are also trustees of that, as well as the Institute for Health Research, is to create a wallet card that properly and effectively asserts your right of informed consent. And you carry it in your wallet and you whip it out. If somebody comes at you with a syringe, they will back off. It's rather interesting. We've had good success with it. I personally, when my husband was in the hospital, and they were insisting that he had to be vaccinated with this and that and the other thing, I would whip it out and say, send legal down, please. And they always backed off because they knew I was right.
So if
that
you
card
want to
sounds,
the,
that card
so
sounds interesting, but I...
about the card, go to tinyurl.com. That's tinyurl.com/AVD card. Alpha Victor David, AVD card. It's the Advanced Vaccine Directive card. It's a medical directive. Just like some people carry cards that say, I'm a diabetic, or I'm allergic to penicillin, or I refuse all transfusions. This one says, I refuse all vaccination. I hereby exercise my right of informed consent and say no. And that's the first step everyone must take.
Well, the anti-vax crowd is being, you know, really, really beat up in the media these days.
Oh, yes.
Sort of, but almost anything. I mean, we deal with the income tax and the Constitution, and we're beat up as tax protesters and idiots all the time. That doesn't change. That doesn't make them right and us wrong.
Yeah.
But, it is unfortunate. Most Americans will probably line up for this Chinese vaccine if it's ever available.
Isn't it curious that in 2009 and 2010... what happened was the American population refused to be vaccinated against the swine flu. There was no pandemic, as it turned out, because, of course, people refused. And here it is a decade later, and the assumption is that Americans will line up and be obedient.
Well, I did not know that.
A decade ago.
That's good.
A decade ago, the federal government bought $6 billion worth of swine flu vaccine. And another $500 million worth of squalene as an adjuvant to stretch the supply.
Couldn't give it away.
And the government said they were going to start with the volunteers, that everybody in the country was going to get vaccinated. They were going to mix the vaccine with the squalene at 90,000 locations around the country. you know, places like grammar school cafeterias and other proper pharmaceutical locations. And then they and the Secretary of HHS, Sebelius, said to Congress, our own scientists won't sign off on mixing the squalene with the vaccine unless there's a national emergency. And of course, President Obama declared the emergency a couple of days later. American population, however, refused to cooperate. For example,
there's another little fact, if I may.
Go ahead.
And that is that squalene had never been used in a widely deployed vaccine, only an experimental vaccine. And squalene causes a couple of things when it's injected. One of them is pervasive autoimmune disorder, which is widely known as Gulf War syndrome. It was caused by
the squalene in the
experimental
anthrax vaccine A.
But it also causes, at a particular dosage, irreversible immune-mediated infertility and sterility. And it was that particular dosage on which the United States holds two patents. One is for producing male sterility, and the other is female infertility when injected. It was that particular dosage that was going to be used. So we at the Natural Solutions Foundation used the internet to tell the American populace that these patents existed and that this dosage was going to be used. And if they lined up, they and their children were going to be irreversibly sterilized and given autoimmune problems, which would probably help kill them. And we gave them a click button, and in 11 days, 3.5 million people said to the powers that think they be, don't you dare. And the powers that think they be, Sebelius at the head of that particular parade, said, oh, well, I guess we won't do that. And then OSHA wouldn't let them dispose of the vaccines in any manner that they could think of, because they're so terribly toxic with all the mercury in them and the other bad things. So the FDA, the Fraud and Death Administration, did what any compassionate government would do. They gave them to the poor, they gave the vaccines to the children of Africa.
Right. Exactly. So, folks, if you want to assert your right, and you have to be serious about this, you need to really think about it. Are you going to accept the vaccine, the untested vaccine that's going to be offered to you soon, or are you going to assert your right? If you don't assert it, it is deemed waived. You got to go to tinyurl.com/AVD card. Very important. And one last thought before the show is over. I know we're just coming into the end, Steve. And by the way, thank you so much for giving us this platform. I want to just remind you, about a statement made by a famous politician of sorts, Mahatma Gandhi, the great Indian patriot, who said that vaccination is probably the most devastating of all the medical myths in the 20th century. And he said, you have to stand against vaccination, even if you must stand alone, and refuse to cooperate with it. It is that serious. It's that serious.
Well, the anti-vax crowd is certainly growing in this country. I don't know how.
It's not anti-vax. It's pro-vax freedom, pro-informed consent. We're not anti anything. We're pro health. So we're pro.
Well, it's like you say. I mean, we all are real. Anybody that's looked at it knows mercury's in it, and what's a safe amount of mercury to inject is zero.
You got it.
Like a no-brainer. Exactly.
Well, it's much more than mercury. You're right, but it's also aluminum. It's also glyphosate or Roundup. Now, why would you add glyphosate to a vaccine? Because glyphosate is a weed killer, and there are very few weeds in most people's bodies.
That's right.
You add glyphosate because the aluminum and the glyphosate together are synergistically more toxic to the blood-brain barrier. And if, as we have shown at the Natural Solutions Foundation, if the powers that think they be are dedicated not only to depopulation, but also to creating as many high-functioning autists as possible to serve them.
I got to interrupt you there. We got the music. We have come to
all right. Great program. Thank you.
And thank you all for joining us. It was a good program. Thanks all of you for listening. Also, check out truth-attack.com and freeenterprisesociety.com on getting rid of that income tax.
Join the Cavalcade to Freedom. The Cavalcade backed to constitutional government. Climb on board and do your part to proclaiming liberty throughout the land. Join and support Liberty Works Radio Network Fellowship. To view the strategic plan, to spread the word, and to get information on joining, go to www.libertyworksradionetwork.com or call the fellowship office at 410-857-5444. That's 410-857-5444. To join the Cavalcade to Freedom. America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in Broadcasting.
This is Randall Yearout on Jurisdiction. When the U.S. territories applied for admission into the Union as states, the overarching principle that drove this decision was the desire to determine their own destinies and to be removed from what the U.S. Constitution calls the exclusive legislative jurisdiction of the Congress over the properties owned by the U.S. government. When what is now the state of Washington removed itself from this exclusive jurisdiction, it was required to write its own constitution, which would provide for a representative republican form of government for its citizens, such as the case for every state which joined our union. Today, our U.S. government officials and bureaucrats have lost sight of this fact, and now want to reassert exclusive legislative jurisdiction over the states and turn them into administrative subdivisions as though we were territories again. Sorry, U.S. government. But the Constitution says you don't have that authority. And Americans are beginning to realize that our founders intended for the individual states to either succeed or fail based on their own laws and policies. If the people don't like the way a particular state operates, they can move to another one where they do. The way our federal government operates today, the entire nation either succeeds or fails based on the policies of 535 legislators in Washington, D.C. And from what we can see from its history of failed social policies, I don't think these guys could pour sand out of a boot if the directions were written on the heel. We need to replace the socialist mindset in Washington, D.C. and our state governments with a restored American view of law and government.
This constitutional message has been brought to you by the members of the Constitution Party. Visit us at www.constitutionparty.com.
With the national debt climbing to an estimated $11 trillion, the White House announced an emergency economic plan today, trading the national gold reserves for cash through precious metal buyers, cashforgold.com.
I got $583 from cashforgold.com.
As you know, we have these very large debts, and the fact is the gold reserves are just sitting there. This woman turned in her wedding ring from her first marriage and got money the next day. If it worked for her, it can work for the United States.
How much does the federal government expect to receive in exchange for all the gold? But the Treasury Department should have looked into competing cash companies like dollarsforgold.com.
The reality is we have over $1 trillion in economic stimulus packages
well,
to
we
pay
do.
For it. We just need that cash now. The president agrees that this seems like a pretty good deal.
But is there a contingency plan if that proves not to be the case?
Well, yes, of course.
The cash received from the cashforgold.com plan is going to be supplemented by funding from the selling of White House furniture on Craigslist.org.
Well, that is correct. We've already sold a giant military map that we don't use very often.
Peeling back the layers every day with
Copperhead 1240, 1190, and 910 AM. Southern Rock, Kickin' Country, and Tennessee Talk.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in Broadcasting.
She knows a hollow from a double up. She does snapbacks, backsides, shoots the curl.
Bethany Hamilton knows everything about surfing. She just didn't know about the shark. But just months after the attack, and with only one arm, the 13-year-old surfs again. And now she's ripping it better than ever. So next time life puts a little fear in you, just think of Bethany Hamilton hanging 10 on top of a heavy wave. That's real courage. Pass it on.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in Broadcasting.